Hi, this is Cliff Mountner, wedding photographer and Nikon ambassador, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast.
This episode of the Petapixel Photography Podcast is proudly sponsored by FreshBooks. Springtime means tax time, and their cloud-based accounting software helps freelance photographers and small business owners get their lives back and get back to shooting by making paperwork a breeze. To sign up for your free 30-day trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 55. Canon disappoints with its EOS Rebel T6. In this episode, Canon disappoints with its new EOS Rebel T6, an LA Times photojournalist tangles with police, Flickr pulls a previously free feature, a noted photographer dies. Would you pay $500 for a camera backpack? If you have a camera drone, watch out for flying jet skis. And listener Ernie in Canada weighs in with commentary on giving away work for free. All that and more in episode 55 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Cliff, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it. If you don't know the name Cliff Mountner, I'd be surprised. There are just some people in this industry that can see things that the rest of us cannot. And as a result, images are made which will stand the test of time. That's why his lighting and skill set boot camps are consistently sold out. Cliff has the vision. He's a true master of lighting. Thanks to his years as a photojournalist, he has the ability to capture moments others would likely have missed. And you will be absolutely stunned when you see his photography. Prepare to see what top-notch wedding photography looks like when you head on over to cmphotography.com. Cliff and I spoke for nearly an hour on the phone recently, and I gotta say that Cliff is one of the nicest, most real people in this industry that we love. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 55 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media or wherever else and helping to spread the word about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Still a little bit under the weather, as you can tell. Let's hit it. What is wrong with Canon? When I first saw this announcement, I thought it was a joke. I thought that maybe time had slipped away from me, and it was April 1st, because this is a head-scratcher. Canon has announced its latest entry-level DSLR, the EOS Rebel T6, also known as the EOS 1300D in some countries. And, well, it is the most minor of updates to the T5. The 18-megapixel APS-C sensor, 9-point autofocus system, and 1080p video recording, all unchanged. Yeah. So if you were holding out for a T6, thinking that you get maybe 24 megapixels, more AF points, etc., you're out of luck. And you might feel sore about Canon. After all, it's going to be another year and a half or so until the T7 comes out, and hey, maybe that'll be a minor update as well. What this camera does have that's new is a Digic 4 Plus processor, an LED around back with 920,000 dots versus the 460,000 in the T5, so that's nice, I guess. A new white priority white balance mode that lets you, quote, create images with a more neutral tone when shooting under incandescent lighting, end quote. That's really exciting, huh? And Wi-Fi and NFC connectivity. White priority. I don't think they put a whole lot of thought into that name. A lot of people are going to be like, white priority? Is any of that just lighting your world on fire? No. No, it's not. You know, when consumers are looking for a camera, they're mainly looking at quality and functionality improvements like more megapixels, more AF points, better AF, and features which will actually improve the user experience. And that's not an upgraded LCD screen and the addition of Wi-Fi and NFC. It's just not. I don't hear anyone asking about those things, ever. And I talk to a lot of people in our audience. Those items are so far down the list that they just never come up. And you know what? It's never one of the deciding factors when considering a purchase. No one ever says, you know what? I want a really great LCD screen. And oh yeah, Wi-Fi and NFC. No, they're always talking about more megapixels, better megapixels, faster autofocus, more AF points, all the things that are going to help them to shoot better and make it more pleasurable for them. So basically, Canon has made updates where people don't care to have them and not where they want them the most. Way to go, Canon. That is innovation and taking care of your customers. Yeah, those people aren't going to at all consider jumping over to Nikon or Sony or any of the half dozen other camera manufacturers out there. Except for maybe they will now. All right, so Canon did put something in there that I've never seen before, and that is an earth-shattering new shooting mode. Can you sense my sarcasm? I think you can. We've all seen the mountain, the flower, the running man, etc. on that top dial of a lot of these cameras. Well, now there's a fork and knife for food mode. Hey, I guess Canon thinks that people that are going to pick up this camera are going to be doing a lot of food photography. Yeah, no. Of this feature, Canon says it's, quote, for the foodie or blogger to easily capture stunning images of the food they love. This mode enhances the color and brightness of the food images, while at the same time making the images ready to share. End quote. That's just amazing to me. You know, they make it seem like if you put it in food mode, you're going to have the most amazing food photography that is possible on Earth just because you put it on the fork and knife. And that is just not true. Food bloggers are using their smartphones, of course. They're not fiddling with a DSLR for the most part. But now you've got food mode available to you should you want to lug around the T6 when you go to dinner. I just don't see it happening, personally. This camera's ISO range goes from 100 to 6400, but it's expandable up to 12,800. Shoots 3 frames per second in continuous mode, so obviously this isn't ideal for sports or action. It has a built-in flash, which no one should use, of course, because the lighting is horrible from on-camera flash. And if any of this excites you, and I'd be shocked if it did, you can get one in April 2016 for $550 US, bundled with an 18 to 55mm kit lens. You know, if you're spending $550 and your camera comes with a lens, can you really expect a lot? Now, compared to the more pricey cameras, no. But here's the problem. After a long wait, the T6 is the most minor of updates to the T5, and that is just shameful. It's like Canon decided, you know what? We need to have a new entry-level camera, and people are going to buy it anyhow because this is the price point they really like. So let's throw a couple new things in there, and maybe we'll get some people to upgrade from the T5, but the rest of the people buying this at Costco or whatever will love it. It's 2016. Get with the program, Canon. Feel that breathing on your neck? Yeah, that's the other camera makers about to eat your lunch. Next. If you're out taking photos, reviewing your photos later in your car, etc., and you're approached by law enforcement, it's generally a good idea to comply when asked what you're doing, asked for your ID, etc. Within reason, of course. Act like a jerk, don't comply, and you're going to have a pretty unpleasant outcome, and that might include getting arrested. Yeah, no fun. Well, that's what happened on Wednesday, March 9th, 2016, as veteran Los Angeles Times photojournalist Ricardo Aratana was arrested while transmitting photos to the paper of former First Lady Nancy Reagan's funeral motorcade. The 65-year-old photojournalist, who has shot for the LA Times since 1989, was parked on the side of a road in Simi Valley, California, about 3/4 of a mile from the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, using his laptop when police responding to a report of a suspicious vehicle approached him. He was reportedly working inside a tarp-covered car, bent over inside with a cover over his head, presumably to see his photos without glare. Now, Simi Valley police say the photographer refused to identify himself when asked, but his attorney Mark Worksman said that he provided a number of press credentials, including those issued by the LA Times and the LA Sheriff's Department. So there's that. Of this incident, Worksman says, quote, the officers resented that he would question their motives. They swarmed him and threw him to the ground and cuffed him, end quote. He was arrested on suspicion of resisting and obstructing a law enforcement officer, a misdemeanor, and while the photographer of Brazilian descent says that his dark skin had something to do with this, the police department is denying that. Simi Valley PD Deputy Chief David Livingstone says, quote, this is not something we want to happen. Had he cooperated, we would have had a different outcome, end quote. Now, none of us were there, of course, but as a former photojournalist myself, I can tell you, honestly, that we PJs can, on occasion, get a little testy with law enforcement. I'm not excusing it, mind you, but merely explaining that while one tries to be professional at all times, like the police, there are days when you're just not on your best behavior, especially when you're on deadline, and especially when you're covering a breaking news story. And in our instant news cycle world, if you're covering the motorcade of a former first lady, time is of the essence. So when anything unexpected comes out of left field and speed bumps you, bad things start to happen. And one of those is giving the police attitude, if that's what he did, and getting yourself arrested. Again, I wasn't there, so I don't know. And I'm hoping that someone has video of this so we can see exactly how things went down, because that would be really interesting. I imagine that police approached him, and since he was on deadline, of course, and working, he sought to quickly show them his ID and send them on their way. After all, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just going through his photos and sending them to the newspaper. So what happened? We may never know exactly what happened that day. Clearly, things escalated when they didn't need to. The lesson here, though, for the many thousands of people who are listening to this right now, is that when you're out there doing your photography, take the time to adequately and properly answer the questions of law enforcement if you're approached. Assert your rights, of course, nicely, but do you really want to get arrested while shooting photos of that old water tower in your town? No, I don't think so. You know, people tend to get heated when they feel like it's unreasonable that they've been questioned by law enforcement. But they're not there to harass you, on the whole. Obviously, there are bad police officers, just like there's bad photojournalists. If you're approached, the officer was either dispatched to check into what you're doing, especially if you're shooting on private property, which you shouldn't be doing, or they were on patrol and thought they would see what you're up to. That's not wrong. Be friendly, answer their questions, and you'll be home in time for dinner. But if you're a jerk and you go to jail, then you might have to hire an attorney and you'll have a huge mess to deal with that is going to dominate your life for a number of months. Do you really want that? No. Photography is not a crime, but how you act could very well be. So be careful. Now we'll see how this case shakes out and we'll let you know what goes on if we find out, of course. But I suspect that they're going to drop the charges against this photojournalist and everyone is going to move on with their lives. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with your photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be out shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem, making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And the FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pictures of your receipts and organize them later so you have them ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You know, they believe in this podcast and we want to support them, right? You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to doing what we all love to do, taking photos and editing them. On average, FreshBooks users get paid nearly a week faster when accepting online payments through their system, cut 2 days a month out of administrative tasks, and double their revenue in the first 24 months. That is amazing. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers, and that's huge. Right now, FreshBooks is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial, so make sure you take advantage of that. Go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the how did you hear about us section. That's PETAPIXEL, of course. Thank you so much, FreshBooks, for your support. If you're a Star Wars fan who's tired of the current camera strap and wish you could Wookiee it up in that department, you might like a new strap designed after Chewbacca's bandolier-style ammo belt that's now available from ThinkGeek. It's 1.5 inches wide and adjusts from 32.5 inches all the way up to 50 inches for those of us who are nearly Chewie-sized. This officially licensed Star Wars camera strap is durable as it's made of seatbelt webbing, and while it's in a pretty obnoxious orangish-brown color, it's surprisingly just $15 US, so really, that's not too bad. But hey, maybe as it gets dirty, it'll become less obnoxious looking. Can you tell I don't like this strap? I think you can. Next. There have been some interesting things going on at Flickr in recent years, as the photo sharing service currently owned by Yahoo struggles to be relevant in the age of Instagram and mobile consumption. We just don't get on our computers as much as we used to view photos, do we? Not so much anymore. It's all about our smartphones and tablets. Well, Flickr has announced that its desktop auto-uploader photo uploading app is now a pro-only feature that can only be used by those who are pro-level members. On its blog, Flickr says, quote, "The feature lets you effortlessly upload all of your photos from wherever they're being stored while making them accessible from any device. If you are already a pro member, you won't see any change to your existing subscription." End quote. You may recall that Flickr resurrected its pro membership subscription plan last July 2015 after receiving a large volume of requests from photographers within the Flickr community. Previous to that, in 2013, they switched to a simple ad/ad-free system, but without the pro benefits that users wanted. In an effort to lessen the grumbles from the community, Flickr is currently offering a 30% discount for those who purchase a year of pro-level membership, so that translates to a more palatable $35 US compared to their normal $50 fee. Now, as Petapixel users point out, there are third-party alternatives out there for uploading your photos to Flickr from your computer, so you really don't need to go pro if you don't want to. I find it interesting that Flickr is pulling features behind the pro wall like this. It's not at all a secret that Flickr isn't exactly a massive cash generator for Yahoo, as we've discussed before here on the show, so don't be surprised if they sell it off sometime in the future. We're also not going to be surprised if they pull more features behind the pro wall and try to get you to pay for things that were previously free. Next. It saddens me to report that photographer Gary Brash has died. Gary died on Monday, March 7, 2016, while snorkeling at the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia. He had been swimming with a companion in his camera at the Australian Museum's Lizard Island Research Station when he drowned. According to a press release from the museum, quote, "Mr. Brash, 70, from Portland, Oregon, USA, was documenting climate change impacts on the Great Barrier Reef. He was snorkeling with a companion earlier this morning near Lizard Island when he was observed floating face down in the water," end quote. Brash is a Nikon legend behind the lens, an environmental photographer whose work has appeared in the New York Times, Life, Time, National Geographic, Smithsonian, the United Nations, and much, much more. He was a photographer's photographer who published a number of books and whose photography was exhibited around the world. According to the New York Times, he began focusing on global warming as his area of interest in the late 1990s, and since then has traveled the world to document firsthand the changes to this great planet that we all share. Frequent collaborator Lynn Cherry said of him, quote, "Gary loved the natural world and devoted his life to trying to save natural places, and with his work to stop climate change, the entire planet. Gary was one of the purest souls I have ever known," end quote. Gary Brash, dead at age 70. R.I.P., brother. As photographers, we never seem to have enough camera bags, right? One camera bag just doesn't quite cover every scenario that we're in, or so we tell ourselves. Well, Ona has announced the Leather Clifton, a handcraft leather camera backpack that's the company's first to feature removable inserts. You know, I still have a Tamrac bag from back in the late 1980s with removable inserts. Looks like Ona has finally discovered how useful they are, after all this time. It's made of full-grain Italian leather and can hold a 13-inch laptop, along with your other personal belongings, when used as a standard backpack. But using the two organization inserts, you can store one DSLR with a lens attached, along with about 4 to 6 extra lenses, give or take, depending on their size. The backpack is available now on Ona's website for the really pricey amount of $499 US. Now, what's the most you've ever paid for a backpack? Probably nowhere near $500. Now, as you might gather, this isn't the bag for me. But you know what? You might like it. Just like my mom always says, that's why there's chocolate and vanilla, right? And if you own a Leica and you want a very expensive camera bag to go along with it, this might just be the one for you. Next. You may recall that back in episode 42, we did a story on college student Gage Skidmore, who made the news thanks to giving away most of the photos that he shoots while covering presidential campaigns, an issue for which caused quite a bit of debate in the photo community, and one of our listeners wanted to weigh in on this. So here's listener commentary from Ernie in Canada, who left us a voicemail on our website via our voicemail widget.
Hey, Sharky. How you doing? Ernie Bassiano here from Bassiano Photography in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. I wanted to make a comment on the giving your work away for free thing. And what bugs me about it is when I hear photographers such as David and other photographers like him who have already, you know, made it in the photography business and are obviously very successful and that kind of thing. But to hear them say, ignore it, focus your efforts elsewhere, whatever, it's really easy for them to say. It's the same as when I hear them say, well, you know, anybody can still make it if you try hard enough. Look, it worked for me. And it's like, well, they didn't have to try and do it during today's situation, you know, with all the stuff being given away for free. And I think they owe a hand up to photographers that haven't reached that level yet to try and help them. And one of the ways they can do that is by speaking out against people giving away their work for free. And instead, they don't do that. And that's really upsetting to me because I think they owe it to their fellow photographers that haven't made it yet to help stick up for them. That's how I feel. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Ernie, for taking the time to leave us a voicemail with your thoughts on this issue. It's something I would encourage other listeners to do as well. Now, before I comment, I'm going to play the clip from episode 42 with what David Duchemin said, so we have a little bit more context here. In that post, David said, quote, "Photographers get upset and jealous when a colleague sells a photograph for millions of dollars. They get angry when a photographer gives away his work for free. Jealous, blame, anger. All this wasted energy should be put into making better photographs, pursuing better business models. All this fear. If a 22-year-old giving away his work puts a hole in your boat, you had a crappy, outdated boat. Sorry, friends, but if your business in this changing world is merely the pushing of a button, this will wake you up. It should make you hungry to be better, to create what this kid does not, to work harder, to diversify. It's not fair. But we can whine about it and be petty about it, or we can ditch the entitlement and build a better boat, one that will weather the changing weather. It sucks, I get it, but our lousy and outdated business model created the vacuum into which guys like this arrive to fill a hole. We can whine, it'll make us feel better, but it will change precisely nothing." End quote. Okay, I changed the word David said to crappy since we need to maintain our clean rating here on the podcast, but you guys get the idea. Okay, I completely get where you're coming from, Ernie. It's tough out there. Guys like David Duchemin, Trey Ratcliffe, are super successful and have reached heights that most never will. But there's something special about these photographers, and that's the vision that they have. David's company, in fact, is called Craft and Vision. I truly believe that you could take away all the fame and success from these people, put them back at square one, and they'd fight their way back to where they are now in just a matter of time. Why? Because they have the drive, the talent, and the vision to do the things that are necessary to get them to where they are. Now, sure, they started many years ago, but so did hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of other photographers. So why aren't the rest of them household names in our business? It's not due to lack of hard work, right? Most photographers bust their butts and always have to make it in this business. So why them? It's because the cream rises to the top. They're where they're at because they not only worked hard, they, for whatever reason, had the vision to do things that others didn't and to pivot when needed to get them to where they are. Now, many are jealous of their success, and I'm not at all saying that applies to you. I totally get what you're saying here, but the horses have left the barn, as the old saying goes. Every one of these leaders in our industry could speak out about the giving away of photography, and it'll still happen. It won't even make a dent, and that is sad, but true, unfortunately. You know, everyone fancies themselves a photographer these days. The working professionals and those doing it on the side will always be undercut by the people who enjoy photography and feel perfectly fine giving it away. Those who succeed in this business will not only have to work harder, but smarter. And you know what? They may never reach the heights of David and Trey and the rest of them, but they can certainly earn a decent living. It really sucks that so many photographers give their work away for free, but we can bemoan all that we want. Everyone could denounce the practice and it'll still happen. I don't think that is ever going to change. You know, that ship has definitely sailed. So one either adapts and plays the cards they're dealt or doesn't survive. It's survival of the fittest in the photography business. You need to build a new boat, as David said. Unfortunately, long gone are the days when photographers were few and it was a lot easier to make a living at it. The democratization of photography changed all of that. You know, we're living in a new reality now. We can be philosophical about it all we want, but things are not going to change. They're just not. So realize that's truth and adapt. It's how you become signal through the noise and distinguish yourself in today's market. Thank you so much once again, Ernie, for taking the time to leave your comments. I greatly appreciate it, brother. If you're lucky enough to own a $2,500 DJI Inspire camera drone, you might want to keep it a safe distance from flying jet skis. Yeah, not something you'd normally worry about, right? Yet, that's what happened to New Zealand-based surf filmmaker Guy Mack. He posted a video shot during the Yamaha New Zealand Festival of Freeride 2016. Well, one of the riders hit a big wave and launched into the air so high that his jet ski took out Mack's Inspire drone at a height thought to be fairly safe as it hovered. Nope, wasn't high enough. Another 10 feet or so and it would have been okay. Instead, the jet ski took it out and completely obliterated it. Now, it's a video that I think you've got to see to believe, and we have the link for that over in the show notes if you're interested. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 55 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, go ahead and email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LenSshark. And if you want to help support this show, support those that are supporting us. Head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel and claim your 30-day free trial. Don't forget to put Petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 56. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.